Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Hello there, hi there, howdy do. This is Ginger Minge, your international glamour toad of mystery. And today, we are going to be leaving Working Girls behind to move on to a brand new podcast, which I'm very proud of, I'm very excited for. You know, it's still kind of in the Working Girls vein, but today we are going to transition into Local Queen. And on this podcast, I'm going to be going around the country, the world even, and talking to some of our favorite local queens. Because honestly, the term local queen really gets a bad rep if you think about it. People think, oh, she's just a local queen. I see that all the time. They go, oh, she's a local queen. She's a local queen. Girl, we're all local queens. We're all from somewhere. We all start somewhere. And to be completely honest with you, every time I'm home in Orlando, Florida, I am still a local queen. I show up to my same local gigs for my same local pay, and I have a good old time with my same local friends. So on this podcast, we're going to get to know some of the working girls, the local queens from all around the world. And today, we're going to start with my true best friend. I know there's been many over the years that I've claimed to be my best friend, or they've claimed to be my best friend, but there's truly one who really, really is my BFF, the one and only, from Orlando, Florida, Gidget Galore,
And the crowd goes crazy! Hi, Ginger.
The crowd was already crazy.
Yeah.
That's why they're listening to this. But you know what? You find the people who are most like you, and you're attracted to them. It's like a beacon of light.
Oh, I thought it was you reap what you sow.
Reap when you sow.
Normally, I rip what I sow.
And speaking of sewing, Gidget Galore, for those of you who do not know, made about 90% of my looks, my hashtag looks, on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 6, including that beautiful, incredible top toot of the week finale runway.
Oh, it was so much fun collaborating.
You don't have to lie to these people.
It seems like so long ago because it was, what, over a year ago?
It was over a year ago. We started, what, in June? Late June, early July of last year?
Yeah.
Starting to collaborate on these looks. And we had, what, 3 weeks to pull it all together?
Once you got what you needed to take, yes. We only had 3 weeks.
And we're going to get into this. We're going to delve into all of this. But before we go into that, I really want you to kind of introduce yourself to all of our listeners out there. I want them to get to know you so that they know the woman inside.
Oh, of course. I don't owe anybody money that's listening, right?
I hope not.
Oh, good. Well, of course, you know, Ginger and I have been friends for many years, and I'm a local queen here in Orlando, Florida, which doesn't mean that I haven't performed other places, but I love Orlando. It's my home.
Mine too.
I love it.
There really is, you know, we don't really get the respect that I think we deserve in Orlando for being a mecca of drag. It's such a melting pot here.
Every kind of drag is represented, whether it's club kids or cis girls. Now we have these beautiful, beautiful queens.
Well, Venus Envy.
Great.
One of the most famous AFAB queens in the world lives right here in Orlando with us. Last Halloween, we actually got to close down the Parliament House working with Venus Envy at during the Rocky Horror Drag Show.
I'm telling you, that girl can do makeup. Oh. Mm-hmm.
She's so fantastic. And but that's just like the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. We've got Axel Andrews.
Yes.
Who, I you know, he's Roxy Andrews' drag kid. Doesn't really identify as a drag queen. Doesn't really identify as...
It's just an androgynous entertainer.
That's the thing. I think we have some of the best entertainers in the world right here in Orlando. And we're so blessed to be a part of that.
And I think it's because Orlando is such an entertainment town, too, with all the theme parks, and everyone's got that entertainment background, whether it's music or movies or theme park, loading people into a roller coaster.
Well, I was going to say, like, how many queens do we know that are like, girl, can I go first? Because I got to be up at 5 a.m. to load people onto the mummy.
But that's when you think about something like that, just you think that would be such a mundane job. But every single person at theme parks, they're cast members because they're putting on a show. So they're always in character. So really, we're all actors, aren't we?
Yeah. Actors, reactors.
Yeah.
So where are you from?
I am from, you're going to do it. Upstate New York.
Yes, what just part?
Upstate.
What part of upstate New York are you from?
I'm from a little town called Beaver Falls, New York. Beaver Falls, New York. It's 45 minutes south of Canada, so it's way up there.
So what is Beaver Falls, New York known for?
Well, it's the home of the beavers, of course.
Which beavers?
Oh, the Beaver River beavers. So we're the home of the beavers, and we were a big paper town, and maple syrup, and cow manure, and snowmobiling.
So it's really country.
It is. It's remote.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting things is when Gidget and I first met years ago, I really kind of assumed that she was kind of a country boy like myself because you had a little bit of an accent. I won't say it's a southern accent, but it's definitely a country accent. And you look like farm stock, like me.
Right, I was sweaty carrying bales of hay.
Yeah, pretty much.
For a production of Oklahoma.
And when you said you were from New York, I was like, no, something doesn't compute, something doesn't check out. And I have to say, my knowledge of New York outside of New York City was pretty limited at that time. So kind of describe Beaver Falls for us.
It is the classic all-American down-home small town. We had one flashing light. The smallest post office ever. And it was just, you just walked down the street. You never had to worry about anything. And I think about that simple time. And, I miss it so much because I just think that everything is so fast everywhere else. But now when I go back there, the first 2 days are just magical. I feel like, oh, I've missed this place so much. The third day, I am bored out of my mind. It's too quiet.
That's how I feel every time I go back to Leesburg.
It's,
I mean,
too quiet.
Luckily, my mother ended up moving in with us over in Orlando, so I don't have the need to visit Leesburg like I used to. But it was the same
thing. Or the desire.
Well, you know, I still desire it sometimes. I still get that itch to drive that 45 minutes over to Leesburg just to check it out and kind of see my old stomping grounds. But it's just, it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
Because nothing looks the same. They've closed down half of the stores that I grew up with and they've turned into chain stores. Literally, that's all they sell are chains.
It's just chain stores.
Just chains. And I don't know, like, it's weird. I think that saying that you can never really go home again is kind of true.
It is. Every time you go back, it's not the same. Everybody has grown up. They've moved on. Not necessarily moved out of the area because they now just have more children. But it is, it's just not the same feel because it's not your childhood anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just grown up.
Yeah, and, you know, we grow up. We move on.
We get wiser.
And whiter.
Well, I don't know. You're pretty tan. It's the...
No, I didn't say whiter.
Oh, good.
I said wider. We just came through quarantine. We did quarantine here together at your house in Orlando because we were putting on all those digital shows and stuff. And then after that, we were having to get ready for Drag Race. So we did kind of quarantine together, but we didn't... We didn't just eat, like, a salad for lunch or maybe something simple for dinner. We would always go, tonight is Thanksgiving.
Well, that was the second week that we were quarantined together because it was only supposed to last for 2 weeks. Remember that.
Yeah.
2 weeks. We were going to be 2 weeks. Our second week, we're like, let's do something really fun since we can't go anywhere. We just set one day aside, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Every single day was a different holiday.
Yeah.
So we went through Easter. We had Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, 4th of July. And we had
Arbor Day. We ate bushes.
Jewish feast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a Passover.
Yeah, we had a Passover. Yep.
Yeah, so we did it all. But that's what I'm saying. We put on a little bit of weight.
The quarantine 50.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody was like, hashtag quarantine 15. We were like, 15?
this week.
We did this wrong.
We'll take a long, leisurely walk from the couch to the refrigerator.
And then to the garage, which had been converted into the Jim Henson Studios South.
Yeah.
Okay, so. We do this. We get sidetracked all the time. But
we have derailed.
Well, I do want to talk about, is there any kind of drag scene or gay scene in Beaver Falls?
No. No, not at all. Actually, I think one of the reasons that my parents moved away from there is my dad transferred down here to the Naval Training Center.
And he wanted to do drag.
And he wanted to, yeah. That's
okay.
No, we moved down here, and I think that my parents really saw that I had this creative side. The year before I went into high school in upstate New York, our theater department was dissolved the year that I was going into it. So that was sad. And I think the only creative jobs that I would have had is working for the paper as a writer or working for the news station.
Do you like to write?
I do. I like to write copy, and I like to do interviews with people and learn. So those were the only two things. It was like the news or the paper. Those are the only two creative things. So.
Or the nudes. You could have done creative, tasteful nudes.
I like tasteless nudes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's good. That's wonderful. You know, topless.
I think it's pronounced tapas.
No, is this where you wear small plates over your nipples?
Oh, I see. I need a slightly larger plate.
Slightly larger. Okay.
No, but there was no drag scene, no gay scene that I knew of. I thought, I didn't even know really what gay was. And now when I go back, it's so funny that my brother, who is my biggest fan ever, will introduce me to, oh, this is Rick. Him and his husband run the dance studio. And I'm like, oh, wow, great. There's another one of us. And then they're like, oh, you need to meet Steve. And like all of these people that you're like, oh, we do have a gay scene. I just didn't see it. I never knew it was there. And everyone's like, well, you didn't go to Buffalo. You didn't do this. I was so young that you had to go to a bigger city to find these gay clubs that are there.
Yeah.
I was too young. I was a little boy.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreaker's ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreaker's gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreaker's Ice Cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it, so look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Now, do you ever get from, like, your brother or anybody in your family who, they're not very experienced with the gay scene, so they think that we all, like, live on the same block and we all know each other, we
of
all
course.
Share a P.O. box. They're
yes.
like, oh my gosh, I just met Roland from Pacoima.
Right.
He's a gay. Do you know him?
He's a gay, yeah.
Oh, Roland from Pacoima, yes.
Yeah.
We spent that beautiful summer together in Belize. No, Mary, I don't know every gay person
well,
ever.
You don't see each other all at the parade?
The parade.
The parade of the gays.
The yeah. one of the gays.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a very heteronormative thing to say.
The gays. The gays are having a parade today.
Yes. But I think, I don't know, my mother, whether she says the gays or like whenever she would ask us if we were on drugs, it was never, Are you doing drugs with us? Are you on the pot?
The pot. Are you taking the pot?
Are you taking the drugs? Yeah. No, mother, no. I am not. No. I'm tired because I'm just so busy, like, running from my feelings and emotions.
I do think that, I think I've told you the story that my mother saw some photographs of me in drag for the, not the first time, but the first time that she saw me in drag. And there were four photographs that I still have to this day. And somebody else had painted me, and it looked really great. And my mother said, "Are you a prostitute?" That was the first thing she went to. "Are you a prostitute?" And I was like, "Oh, no, nothing like that. I'm a drag queen." I think that hit her even harder. I don't know. But it's so funny now because they are such big fans. I know that your mom is such a big fan of you. And they come to our shows. They've met each other. It's great to have that now that they see that it is a job. It's a real job that pays the bills. You've traveled the world. I watch you travel the world.
Hey, sometimes you travel the world with me.
It is fun. It is fun. But now they see it is a real job. And I think the thing that my mother has just told me right from the start is, I'm so happy and proud of you because this is such a great creative outlet. Mm-hmm. It is creative because of music, singing, costuming, you're acting. You know, it's everything.
So. I'm not acting. Although so I do have on my Joan Crawford eyebrows today.
You do.
I do.
They're nice and thick and dark.
I have to tell you this story about my mom. So we went to, my husband had to go to a wedding for one of his good friends, and he couldn't travel with me when I went to Punta Cana like 2 years ago. So I decided to take my mom with me because my mom's always like, "Oh, you get to go to all these amazing exotic places. I really want to go with you. Oh, you get to vacation." No matter how many times I tell her, it is not a vacation. This is my job. This is my work. I travel for work. It never clicked in her head. So we get there, and it didn't help her fantasy that they pick us up in a private car, and they drive us to our bungalow at it was a Club Med. It was a Club Med.
We had an all-inclusive resort.
Yeah, so we were in the biggest, most luxurious bungalow you could get. I mean, they were really treating us like gold for the week that we were there. We had a private bartender for our little section, and they would pick us up on the golf cart. We didn't have to walk anywhere, and everywhere we went, they called her Mama Minge, and da da da. So the first couple days, she was living her fantasy, and she was like, "See, I knew this is what your life was like." Then we started doing the shows. And she had to start running back and forth to get, you know, the heels that were left, or to get the hairspray, or this or that or the other thing. And she's like, "Well, I don't want to do that. I want to stay here. I'm talking to these people." I was like, "You can't do that. You need to go get the flash drive so I can sing these songs for this rehearsal, or we're not going to get paid and they're going to kick us out. And we're going to have to walk back to Orlando from Punta Cana."
Right.
And so she was run ragged for 3 days while we were doing these tours. And we got home. And she was so tired. And she looked at my husband and she goes, "I will never question what you do ever again. That is the hardest I have worked in 20 years." Mm-hmm. It's a job. And it is. It takes a lot out of you. But
at the end of it, I mean, it doesn't seem like a long show. Okay, fine. 2 hours. Well, then it was the 2 hours prepping for that and packing and all of that. Then there's that. Then there's washing your face. By the end of it, you're like, "Do you want to go out to dinner?" "Oh, no, I would rather somebody chew up the food and spit it in my mouth. I'm so tired." Yeah.
Well, not to mention, you know, we get on stage and we do these shows and it takes so much energy. And then there's always the inevitable meet and greet, whether it's planned or impromptu. Like last night, we were doing our regular bingo gig at Hamburger Mary's here in Orlando. And we walked outside after the show. We went through the back door, didn't even go out front where people could see us. We're literally tucked under the stairs behind Hamburger Mary's on Church Street, smoking a cigarette. And we look around the corner and there's a line of people that just want to take pictures with us and give us gifts and talk to us and have that moment. And that's really kind of what it's all about, is like making the connection with these people. But it's like, oh my gosh, we have been talking nonstop and dancing and singing for 2.5 hours. I'm exhausted.
And that just added 40 more minutes to the end of the night, just being friendly and taking pictures.
Which we love to do, so please don't think
absolutely.
This is not a call to action for you to not come up and bother us. We love being bothered. It's never a bother.
Oh, gosh, if it weren't for fans and for people coming to see the show, it'd just be you and I singing at each other.
And we did that through all of quarantine, and I hated it.
It was terrible.
Terrible. But that just adds another, you know, hour to your shift. Mm-hmm. So by the time you're done, you really are putting in, like, between a 6 and 10 hour day. Or 6 and 8, not 10. Well, yesterday was like a 14-hour day for me. One. But, you know, it just depends on what you have to do. But they are long shifts, and they're very taxing, and it takes a lot out of you. And a lot of people don't realize that. And I think it really, truly affects girls who are considered to be local queens a lot more than, you know, like Drag Race girls or Dragula girls or anybody who has that international exposure where this becomes our full-time job. Because there are local girls who this is a part-time job for them. I mean, they're putting in full-time hours.
Full-time hours. Exactly.
But they're still getting up to go put on the Mickey ears and wave at people and do all of these things all around Orlando. Go and open a retail store. Like, what do you do? Like, outside of drag, you have a lot of many different jobs.
My main job is costuming. So I'm a costumer. I've done things for Disney and Universal, and I worked with a great production company here in town with my business partner for 20 years. It was just great, and I love being creative costume-wise. I think it's one of the best talents, especially for a female impersonator, to know how to sew. You know how to sew. We've made stuff together.
Well, you're learning. I'm better.
Yeah, you're better.
I'm better.
You're better, but you get the basics of it. There are a lot of people that can't even hot glue something together. But so that's my job really outside is just, you know, costuming. I do wigs for different theaters around town. I think we all have many hats. And there are a lot of entertainers that don't even know how to style hair or sew costumes. And it is extremely expensive for that. I could never be in this career and not know how to sew. I would be broke all the time. Like, there's no way I could pay for some of this stuff. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and when you were talking about hometown girls, like, girls will finish their job, paint their face, drive 45 minutes to an hour and a half away from their home. That's how it is here in Florida, at least, to go work at a bar for 3 hours, then drive all that distance home, wash their face, and go to work the next day. And we know tons of entertainers that do that on a weekly basis.
Well, and I think a lot of people also need to realize, you know, what I said at the beginning of this episode is very true. You know, even the people that you see on TV, we're still local girls. When we are home, we are local girls. I don't show up to do bingo at Hamburger Mary's for $5,000 and a luxurious limo ride and all of these things. Girl, we're rolling our suitcases in half drag down Church Street.
Across the railroad tracks.
Dodging the trains, dodging the Ubers, dodging everything. And we're going in there for, you know, $100 in tips.
Right. And then when you turn around, what's the first thing you say when you're on stage? I'm so happy to be home.
Yes.
This Orlando is my home. And it comes out of your mouth and they love it because they know it's true. You've always been.
It's absolutely true.
Your home.
So Orlando is your home now and it's Gidget Galore's home forever. Yep. Gidget was born here, yeah?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into drag.
I think it all starts, there's two reasons. Either you're a theater kid. Yep. Oh, you dressed up on Halloween. That's how a drag queen is born. And if you got both of them, there's your mama and daddy right there. But no, I was always in theater, and it's always been one of those things. Like, we grew up watching Cirque du Soleil and all of this fabulous makeup, and now I feel like entertainers have no excuse because there's so many resources that you can find online to learn makeup and all of that. And we grew up with someone teaching us and just absorbing from your drag mother. Like, my drag mother, Catherine Nevitz, taught me. And I just learned. I never have stopped learning. And I think that that's very important for up-and-coming queens to always understand you feel so fierce now. Just keep learning because it's always going to keep changing. So
absolutely. Well, you know my drag mother, Rusty.
Yes.
It was very, like, sink or swim with her. She said, I am not going to paint your face and let you go out there and feel your fantasy. She would paint half of my face and then tell me, it is up to you. you've got to match the other side. And if it looks bad, and if you look like somebody's popped it in the microwave and half your face melted off, that's on you.
Yeah.
And that really forced me to learn. And it made me, you know, I remember we didn't have, you know, YouTube was very new and there weren't makeup tutorials.
No.
We didn't have a lot of the makeup products that are available now. Because I started 16 years ago. When did you start?
Let's see. Well, I won my first pageant in 2005. And then I was doing drag before that. So like 17, 18, 19. It's
been a minute.
Yeah.
It has been a minute. And the resources were lacking in those days. So we had to sit and really just go, like, sit in the mirror, devote time to painting the face, taking it off.
Practicing.
Painting the face, just taking it off, and just going over and over and over again. And then I remember, like, the hardest lessons that were the most valuable to me were always in the dressing rooms with these girls that have been doing it for years. And I think that, because of shows like Drag Race, you know, the world, we're putting our culture into the hands of mainstream America or mainstream world.
Right.
And there has been this push to be nicer, be kinder, don't be so catty, don't be so bitchy. And I understand that, you know, I do feel like there are certain times where everybody in the world should just kind of think about what they say before they say it. And I've always lived my life with a mantra, you know, like, treat people the way you want to be treated. That goes without saying. But we learned so much from the cattiness and the bitchiness and the reads from the other girls in the room when you'd walk in and they go, oh, you're really going to wear that on stage? And it was funny, but it made you sit there and go, oh, well, let me go look in the mirror and find what's wrong with it.
Right.
Because if they sat there and pointed out, well, you know, before you go out, I just want to let you know that the hemline is wrong on that and you shouldn't have a safety pin visible there and maybe green isn't your color. I don't think you absorb the lesson as much as when they go, you're going to wear that?
You might check yourself
in the mirror for 20 minutes before you go on stage going, what is wrong? Oh, the hem is wrong. Oh, you can see my safety pin. Let me fix that. Oh, maybe green isn't my color. You know, and it really kind of forced us to learn about ourselves. So I think that there is a definite art to reading someone. And I think that most of the time it comes from a place of love. So if you see a queen being a little bit catty here and there, like, just let it be, because that's a part of the drag culture. And that's how we learn.
Yes.
You know? So when did you start drag?
2005, I won my first pageant. So 2 years before that. So that would be 2003.
So, I'm not good at math.
It's been 19 years then.
Oh my goodness, I almost forgot. We've gotta hear a word from our sponsor. So before we delve into the creation of Gidget Galore, I think we should hear a word from our sponsor.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Welcome back, everybody, all of my ladies and gentle them. This is Ginger Minge, and I am here with my very special guest, our very first local queen spotlight, get you galore.
Hi.
Hi, girl. So we were just about to dive into the creation of the galore.
So it's so crazy. When I first started, I went with the name Bubbles Galore. Because it was, we had this big man on campus where all the jocks would dress up in drag for homecoming week, and they'd have a pageant. And one of their names was Bubbles Galore, and it always tickled me because he was the big, he looked like a refrigerator that wore sneakers. Like,
well, Bubbles just, should always tickle you.
Yeah. You're just your nose. But that's really my first name. And then I switched it to Gidget because I always loved Sally Field, and I always loved that Gidget goes camping, Gidget goes skiing, and it was always a theme. Like, I would have, like, I would carry ski poles and fur on my head for all these themes. And then I realized, all these themes are so crazy, and I'm running out of space for props. So that's where Gidget came from, because I just thought it was a fun, kitschy 50s kind of name.
And even though you ditch the bubbles, I'd say Gidget still is pretty bubbly.
She's bubbly. She's effervescent.
Effervescent. That's a big word.
Effervescent. I know. I had to practice that one.
Let me see. Hold on. Hey, Siri. What does effervescent mean?
Of a liquid giving off bubbles, fizzy. Do you want to hear the remaining one?
No.
No.
I don't.
I think giving off bubbles and fizzy is enough. It helps clean dentures.
So did you start doing drag at school?
We had a Halloween party. There we go.
Oh. Yeah.
And I wore a blue taffeta prom dress with a store-bought Marilyn Monroe wig.
Oh, from Ooh. Which store? Oh,
from Costumes Unlimited here in Orlando.
Well, you know, I have to say, it's not like going to a Spirit Halloween Walmart.
This was a big, big, big rental costume shop here in town that I ended up working at many years later. But it was
I have a similar story. It's kind of similar. I was actually taken into a mental health facility.
Like, oh, yeah, totally.
Baker acted, and then I ended up working as a receptionist for them a couple years later. It's the Stockholm Syndrome.
It's crazy, but that's how it all started, like, at school. And then, of course, when we came out, we used to come out and drag to the clubs just for fun. Oh, girl, some of these pictures were just, I look like a before Jenny Craig ad. It was, I had a brown bob wig, nary a tease in it. It was bored straight.
My first wig was a brown bob store-bought Halloween costume wig. The strip page boy.
Oh, it was, yes.
I looked like Carney Wilson on a bender.
Yes, and I wore it with a blue polyester pantsuit. Yes.
Oh, my. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where was that treat from?
That was from a Ross.
Mine was from Ross, too, from the clearance rack? Yeah,
probably. But I knew that I had made it because I had put about 15 rhinestones across the chest. So it was stoned for filth, girl. It was so much fun.
Well, luckily the audience was stoned for filth, too.
Oh, I know, right?
So you put this all on for Halloween.
That was for Halloween at school, and then we used to go out to, like, Southern Nights in our bars here, and just, like, for different themes and stuff, we'd dress up and drag. And then I started doing talent shows. That's how I got into it. That's how my drag mother got into it, performing at talent shows, working every benefit that I could for free to help everybody here in town. I think that Orlando has got one of the tightest communities, mm-hmm. not just a gay community. We look out for everybody. And if somebody's raising money for pets, mm-hmm. everybody's there. Gay, straight, man, woman, it doesn't matter. Everyone's there.
The thing that really drove that home, as much as I don't want to bring it up, was, of course, the Pulse tragedy.
Of course.
And we saw how the entire community, whether they were fans of the gay community or the drag community or not,
the entire community got together.
Yeah. And you still feel that sense of camaraderie everywhere you go here in this town. I love Orlando. That's why I'll never leave it. I will never leave it. And people ask me all the time, why aren't you moving to LA or New York? Because that's not home.
No.
That's work, and I'm happy to be there, and I enjoy those places, but Orlando's home.
And the people that do move away. I know we work very closely with Mr. Miss Adrian. She moved away to New York. You've moved to New York. You've come back. Uh-huh. She came back. It seems like people that do go out looking for something, either it doesn't quite hit and they have to move back, or they really do want to move back here because they miss what we have here. It's magic.
It is. It's absolutely magical. Not just because of Disney.
No.
Oh, that's a big part of it. I do love Disney. So you, your inception was at a Halloween party at school. You started doing these talent shows in town.
Yep.
And then what was your first big break?
My first big break. Actually, it's so crazy that you say that. Like, after we did the talent show, my drag sister, Bridget Galore, we did it together. We were hired. This is so weird that it's coming around to this. We were actually the first drag queens that performed at Pulse. We opened Pulse.
Oh, Miss I remember
Sammy,
that.
Bridget and I, and we did a number in each room, and it was the 4th of July, and we did an Andrew Sisters thing. So we were literally the first queens to perform there, to open Pulse, 4th of July.
I knew that, but I don't think I ever knew that.
It was so much fun.
Oh, so much wow. Fun.
But that was my big break. So we were hired in that brand new bar. It was brand new. It was so gorgeous. It was just like so beautiful. And then they're like, oh, we don't need any drag queens. So we got fired. So, like,
oh,
it was like the first week. They're like, you know what? Everyone's rushing in to see this brand new bar. We don't need any entertainment. Well, of course, that's going to change. And so many great queens have come through Pulse over the years.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so it's great.
So then after... you got the can from Pulse. Where did you head after that?
Then I worked at the Parliament House. From then on, I used to do happy hours. I had one or two nights a week doing special events weekly there. I did a camp drag where we'd put just anybody from the audience. They'd have to put themselves in bad drag and perform. I did pool games. Hosting here in town.
Let's stop for just a moment and talk about Camp Drag. Okay, yeah. So Camp Drag, it was an institution in this town.
Oh my gosh,
it became
so
this thing. So it was like you were the hostess of the show.
Yes,
but it was like a rotating guest host spot with like me and Addison Taylor and April Fresh and like
Daphne Ferraro.
Yeah. All of the comedy queens.
Yes, all of the comedy queens. We were all there.
So we were all there, and people took this seriously.
Oh, it was. Oh, yeah. You
they could not tell these people that they weren't on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
I remember how competitive it would be, and they would spin the wheel and get their genre.
Their genre, right? We had ladies of the 80s, we had country divas, all that stuff on the wheel.
And then they would run to the back for these racks of mothball-smelling, dirty, nasty,
thrift
disgusting
store
clothes.
Dress. What it was is all of the queens, we would just, whenever we needed stuff... Hey, does anybody have drag that they want to get rid of? So you know this was bottom of the barrel.
It smelled like corn chips.
It was bad. And we would just have those racks.
And then the frizziest, nastiest wigs, which I'm pretty sure like they were just the leftovers that because we used to fold these wigs inside out and use them for hair bumps, pin them on, and then spray our foreheads. That was it.
That was it.
That was the ticket. So
you
we
could put a piece on. That was made it. Yeah.
This is a poor Addison Taylor had three hairs on her head, but she was snatching them back and spraying them back. So anyway, so we would take those bumps that we'd be matted, nasty messes, terrible. And then just put them back there.
Yeah. And there was a bin of shoes.
Bin of shoes.
In the same thing. You know, this is the one that has the broken heel tip on it.
Uh-huh.
This is the one where the ankle strap doesn't quite close all the way.
And then, of course, the Dollar Tree makeup.
That makeup. The makeup was horrific. We used to have a full... We had everything down to mascara. Then we realized, that's disgusting.
Ooh, yeah.
So we had one little cold sore on one person, and the lipstick ended from that point. Then we got sponsored by Avon.
Oh.
That would give us the little testers, so they could still have lipstick. And they would run from station to station, almost like a kickball field.
Because they had, you know, you would have two guests.
Yep.
And then those two guests would perform, and by the time those two guests were done with their 3-minute numbers each, they had to be ready to hit the stage. And those people would pull out all the stops. They would sit. It was like they were getting ready for the lip sync for the crown on a regular season of Drag Race, where they had reveals.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to throw marbles on the stage. If they needed to win their $50, a free room at the Parliament House, and two drink tickets.
And two drink tickets, yeah. And they would know that, And people would scope out what they wanted. People that would come back and say, oh, can I do it again? It's been a year. They would know what dress they were headed for because they'd seen it on the rack the week before. They almost an elbow to the face. Yeah.
You know, I think that maybe we'll edit this out of the episode because I feel like this could be the next big television hit.
There we go.
Camp Drag.
Camp Drag.
Gidget Galore and Ginger Minj.
Well, Extreme Camp Drag.
Extreme Camp Drag. So it's just going to be us with pool noodles knocking them off their heels.
They have to, right. Water cannons.
And so I want to ask you, what was your proudest drag moment ever?
My proudest, I know this for a fact, my proudest drag moment ever was being crowned Miss National Comedy Queen in 2007. I have never cried so hard in my life because I had worked so hard. And it's such a great system. The Comedy Queen system has been around since 2005. Mm-hmm. I was the third. You were the...
This is my 10 year.
This is your 10
this
year?
This is my 10 year. Wow. Yeah, it was 2012. So this next pageant we have will be my 10 year.
And that was the proudest that I had been right then because I had just worked so hard for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, and if you want to see any of us perform in this pageant, you can get the DVDs at...
Oh, yeah, they're still around.
ANRtickets.com. That's A-N...
As in Nancy.
Nancy. R, like pirate. Tickets.com. And you can get all the DVDs there, all the information. Tina Burner from season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race is our... Current reigning.
She's been raining for what? 2 years?
Well, it's like Florida. It never stops raining.
It does.
Her step down will be in March of next year.
Gonna be a big pageant.
Big pageant. Lots of contestants. You know, I of course consider myself a pageant girl. I love pageants. They really kind of were boot camp for us.
It was.
It really was. It taught us everything. But the one pageant that I never got sad when I lost was Miss Comedy Queen. I kept going back because comedy is probably the most subjective thing that you can do. And it was always so encouraging.
Everybody helped each other. It was never it's not a normal pageant that people would get real pissed off if you were doing better than them. And mm-hmm. they could see that maybe their chance is slipping away. Everybody helps everybody out backstage. I've never been in a system that has... been so much like a family during, before, and after the pageant. Everyone's trying to help each other.
Well, here's the tea. So I competed for Miss Central Florida Newcomer one time and one time only. And that was a big pageant. That was a big deal for all the new girls. You wanted to win that pageant. I had the worst time of my life because there was somebody who would go on to become a Drag Race girl. I'm not going to say which one. You can use your powers of reduction. They were so wicked to deal with.
And it's a newcomer pageant.
A newcomer pageant. And I
for those of you who don't know, that's when you have to be, like, a new. You don't have a title. You normally didn't work at a bar already. No. You are brand new.
You're fresh out of the gate. But unfortunately, towards the end of that pageant's life, you know, it was people who, well, I never won a national title, so technically I'm still a newcomer. Mm-hmm. No, Mary, we've been working together at the bar for 10 years now. Right, exactly. You're not a newcomer. But this girl, I physically saw her put her dirty foot on the train of someone's white evening gown. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked them if they could borrow some super glue for their earring. And it was literally sitting open right there. She picked it up in front of them, put it in her bag and said, I'm sorry, I don't have any.
Yeah.
But that's just, yeah. I mean, that's the one person that really kind of soured me on that pageant, why I didn't want to go back. But I also noticed that in my pageant career, you know, girls got so competitive mm-hmm. over these things. But Miss National Comedy Queen has never, ever been that.
And that was my first title. That was my first title on Miss Central Florida Newcomer.
Mm-hmm. I know. That was one of the reasons I really wanted to do it. I respected the formers of that pageant. I wanted to be one of them. But I was like, I cannot put myself through that again.
Nope.
No. So we've talked about your proudest moment. Let's talk about your least proud moment. Your most embarrassing or just the time you didn't enjoy.
Well, I sewed for you for All Star 6.
What?
No, that was my proudest moment because the costumes that you wore, you did so well. You look so beautiful. And we had to wait so long to see this stuff. It's over a year. We just sat on it just like, stuff would walk down the runway. You're like, oh yeah, we did make that.
Well, technically, you sewed for me for All Stars 2.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
Because you and Marcy Singhals are good friends. She made a lot of my stuff for Season 7 and for All Stars 2. She unfortunately passed away this past year. But you and her partnered up to make my Catherine the Great gown.
Yeah.
Which is just so stunning. And then you made, which is probably one of the most complimented looks that I've ever had, which was my rubber on the runway. Well, they ended up changing it to like latex, whatever, at the last second.
Right.
But you remember our prompt silver was rubber on the runway.
Rubber on the runway.
And it was made out of that rubbery faux leather from some old diner seats from like when Banana's Diner closed and stuff. So flattering and so gorgeous. Smelled terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure once you wore it.
Just awful. But you made that for me, and that was one thing that people have still clung to. They really love that look. And then all the things you made for me for this season.
I will say, when you brought up, and that's so proud, like, I'm so happy with all that. But when you said about, you know, your not proudest moment, I don't really look back and think that there's something that I could have done differently, because I've always gone into this feeling that you don't have to stab someone in the back. You don't have to be nasty. You can just be creative, be good at your job, and you don't have to put other people down to get ahead. And it's always, and that's why sometimes it's being nice to a fault, and it looks like you're being walked over. You always know who is trying to take advantage of you, always.
Mm-hmm.
But like it hurts when you try to do something so right and be nice to everyone. And like I do Drag Queen Story Hour here in town, and almost every single time we have protesters, and the things that are being screamed at me or the children that are coming in to, because we normally do it at the center or at our Pride events, and the things that are being screamed are just so hurtful, because you know that they're so far away from the truth.
Yeah,
that it really it just like, how can you say something like that about somebody that you don't even know or what?
Well, and 9 times out of 10, the things that they scream are completely worse for these children than anything they could imagine that you're going to do while you're reading a story to them. You know, it really shakes the children. I've seen it, and I've talked to you, and, you know, I've been down there to see you do this, and I see the way that some of those people treat you.
Right, and what?
But here's the thing. They are not from Orlando.
No.
They're never people who are from Orlando. They've always been sent from somewhere else to come and invade our safe space.
Right.
But because Orlando is such a great and tight-knit community, usually they rally around and run those people right back out.
They sure did. Mm-hmm. The OPD came right, right to my rescue. I didn't need to be rescued, because it wasn't a physical thing, but it just to know that they have your back and that they're there, and
it's a great community. It's really a good community to be a part of. So I want to talk real quick about our little foray into the theater.
Yes.
So a couple years ago, I had just gotten fired from the Haters Roast Tour because I decided to go do that episode of AJ and the Queen with RuPaul for Netflix. And the schedule just, it didn't work out for the promoters, so they let me go. And I had some free time on my hands. So I called Gidget, and I was still drinking at the time. And she, I've been sober for 2 years now, but I had to after that night because we drank way too much. It was a Taco Tuesday. And we were just sitting around like, oh, girl, what's next? What could possibly be next for us?
I've got this time off.
Then we decided to put on Hulu. And wouldn't you know it, the first thing that pops up is the Golden Girls. And we looked at each other and we were like, oh my gosh, I'm the Rose. Yeah, girl, you're the Rose. Well, who am I? You're the Blanche.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, I'm the Blanche. And then we started going through our list of friends. Who would be the Dorothy, and who would be the Sophia, and who it? And then we realized, oh my gosh, this is what we're going to do.
This is what we're going to do. Because we talked about it.
Yeah.
Off and on, like, wouldn't
this be fun? As a joke, like, oh, wouldn't that be funny?
Wouldn't this be fun? And it just lined up. We had, what, from beginning to end, from that night until the curtain opened.
Like 2 weeks?
2 weeks. And we put together that entire show.
And remember, we were only supposed to run it for two performances. Yep. We didn't think anybody was going to come see this. We were like,
doing it for ourselves.
Yeah, we were like, let's just go and have fun. Those two performances sold out within 48 hours. We added more, and it was the show that kept selling. We ended up doing it for the entire length of time I would have been doing the Haters Roast Tour.
They would have bought more.
Bought more, and they've continued to. We have never done a run of Golden Girls or any of our TV Land Live shows that hasn't sold out or sold very well. I'm very proud of them. We decided, since we had so much success with the Golden Gals, we took that and turned it into a Golden Gals Christmas musical, which has become an annual tradition here in Orlando.
Everybody looks forward to it.
This year, we're doing an all-new updated version of that, which we're very excited for. And then we did Roseanne Live.
Roseanne with a Z.
With a Z. which it was more of a serious drama. Yeah. I mean, it was still really funny.
It was still funny.
But we ended up winning a lot of awards for it. We got so much recognition. Then we decided to do Gilligan's Island Live. Gilligan's with a Z. Island with a Z.
Yeah, right.
Not where you think it would be placed. But that was the show that, you know, we got shut down because of...
We started selling
coronavirus.
Tickets.
Yeah.
Right, we started selling tickets and then...
And then we had to close that down. Then a couple months later, everything started to lighten up, and we were like, okay, well, maybe we'll do a very distant, socially safe production. And then the Parliament House closed.
Right.
So we had to cancel that one again. We're finally getting to do it at our new venue in Claremont, at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in January. So
back, I think, on stage.
It is going to be our biggest and best show yet, I think, because we've had 2 years to put it together.
And we're ready. We're ready to make them laugh again.
And now we're working on putting together a tour where we bring some of our favorite TV Land Live shows around the world. So you can see it. More on that, you know, as it develops.
Yes.
But you and I actually are going on tour together this holiday season.
We are. We are going all around the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. And Canada.
And Canada. I can't wait to have a corn dog in every state.
Or play cornhole in every state.
There we go.
So you and I are doing our Winter Wonderland Spectacular. It's a non-denominational holiday spectacular for everyone.
For everyone, yes.
And it's kind of based loosely around the music video that we did last year.
For the holiday season.
We did Winter Wonderland, which you can go see on YouTube. Beautiful animated video, and it's gonna
we're
be
little
fun.
Clay figures.
We are gamation.
We're the exact same size.
So, what do you think people should expect from our holiday tour this year?
Well, it's if you saw it last year, we went to Charleston last year. It's gonna be an all new show. It's really spectacular with costume changes, beautiful, beautiful graphics that your husband is putting together. So it'll be, it's like basically seeing a rocket show, but with two wider rockets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Double wide.
Double wide.
Speaking of, my brand new album, Double Y Diva, is available for streaming on all of your musical platforms on September 17th.
Make sure Yeehaw!
You check that out. And make sure you go check out Gidget Galore, the star of the Friends in Low Places music video for my cover of that on YouTube.
So fun.
It was fun. There's so much coming up. There's so much that has already happened. I'm so excited that you get to be my first guest here today on Local
Queen. Honored.
And I want to ask you, if you have any advice for any local girls out there who may be feeling some kind of way because people think they are a local queen, quote unquote, what would it be?
I would say never stop learning. You are going to have to do some stuff for free. That sounds a little dirtier than it's supposed to be. But you are going to have to put in the work. You don't go from putting on makeup the first time to getting $500 for a booking.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have to put in the work. But don't get discouraged. And do the talent shows that are around town. Be a free guest for tips. Get your foot in the door. It never hurts to show up in drag to your local bars and be visible.
Yeah.
So people know who you are.
Absolutely.
And I think Orlando's one of the best towns, but I know that everywhere that does have a drag community, you can go out and be seen. Make yourself visible.
See and be seen.
See and be seen.
Absolutely. And where can our listeners find you?
They can find me in Orlando, Florida, or easier to find me is on Facebook at Gidget Galore. And what is my, what is that other Twitter? I am on
Instagram.
Instagram. The Instagrammers. Yes.
Yes, Nana.
Instagram. I'm under Gidget Galore on Instagram. That's the easiest. Yeah. They can come and see lots of photos of you and I together.
That's right.
Tasteful nudes.
Yes. The jury remains on that one. And you, of course, you can find me across all social media platforms. Make sure you go to gingerminjonline.com, not gingerminj.com. That is porn. That is also me. but you'll want to go to gingerminjonline.com to find all of my social media. Kizzy, thank you so much for joining me today. I really do love and appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so happy. But now, before we leave, I want them to be able to get tickets for our shows.
Yeah.
So how can they do that?
By going to gingerminjonline.com.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that just, it's so convenient.
Thanks for reiterating.
Yes, you're so welcome. Hey, look, I love all of you out there. And remember, local queens are our local sheroes, our homegrown sheroes. So make sure you keep slaying the game and keep being that beacon of light for everybody in your community. I love you so much, and I can't wait to talk to you next time. Mwah!
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.